Well, hello, hello.
Oh, hello, hello, sir. How are you?
Good. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How's the weather down there?
It's Florida, dude. It's awesome. It's amazing. I'm sure it's freaking hot. So it's good. Nice. Yeah, dude. Real quick before we start, the kid that I was telling you about that played in the Miami Open a couple weeks ago, the kid Darwin Blanche.
Yeah, he's playing Nadal.
He's playing Rafa tomorrow. Yeah, it's crazy.
How old's that kid? 16?
16. It's his second pro match, dude.
Wow.
Dude, it's sick.
How did he get into that draw? What's he ranked?
Wild card. He's ranked 1,024 in the world.
Wow.
That's yeah, awesome. So everybody that listens, our four listeners, go see Darwin Blanche. We do have some European listeners, so that will be on about, I think, 9 or 10 a.m. your time. And it's going to be on at 4 a.m. our time tomorrow. So I'll be getting up to watch that. Pretty excited.
That's awesome. Is it going to be on Tennis Channel Live?
No, I'll have to stream. I'll have to stream it. I don't. Well, maybe it'll be on Tennis Channel, but I'll have to stream it.
Well, either way, in this day and age, at least there's the opportunity to, and you don't have to pirate some Chinese stream for it.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, well, after that, we've got some FA Cup action to talk about from this week.
We do. Do you want to go first with your good news or should I go first with my?
I want to hear your assessment first. We'll go from there.
Fine.
You had a much more exciting game than we did.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Yes.
all right. Where do I start with this one? So I guess coming into this, I know on predictions last week, we both picked United to win this match, as they should, against a championship side that's not even in the top half of the table. Now, if you think about it a little bit more, you think, all right, well, most matches at Wembley are like 1-0 or they're tied 1-1, always get extra time or penalties, like the odds on, like that's usually going to happen. Now, United somehow, like a day or two before, maybe it was the day before, this match is supposed to happen. Keep in mind, United have no European matches to deal with, anything like that in this point of the season. And it comes out that Mason Mount and Willie Cowabunga are somehow both injured in training. And Kambalawa was the last fit center back we had besides Harry Maguire. And so it's pretty crazy to me that we find ourselves in the situation where Johnny Evans, Rafa Varane, Victor Lindelof, and now Willie are all hurt.
And that's brutal.
It's ridiculous. So that unfortunately meant that we had to trot out the ailing, aging Casemiro to play center back alongside Maguire, which, you know what? You could think positively and say, you know, he's moving a little bit slower. Maybe that's actually not a terrible thing for him to play center back. And someone else who's a little bit more mobile, like Scott McTominay, can play in the midfield instead.
Yeah.
So now I will say Casemiro was not terrible during this match, but it was pretty obvious that later on in the match, he definitely started to tire. And with him and Maguire back there, they're both not the most mobile center back pairing. Usually you'd like to have somebody with a little bit of pace to give some cover to a center back of either of their caliber. And I think it both showed late on in the match. Now, I don't want to skip ahead because the first half was actually fantastic. I figured, you know, maybe we get a goal, maybe we go up 1-0. And lo and behold, we were up 3-0. And they were all like pretty decent goals. And but you know what? Unfortunately, with this United team, no lead is safe. But you had Scotty McTominay score, of course. You had Harry Maguire score, of course. I forget who the other one was. I forget if it was Rashford or somebody else. But it was awesome. I was stoked. It was like the 60th minute, and I was like, all right, game over. And I'm pretty sure all of our players thought the same thing because we took our foot off the gas and somehow Coventry came back to tie this match. And it's insane to me that this game was somehow won by Manchester United. We deserve to win this game as much as a freaking softball team deserves to beat a pro baseball team. Like, the fact that we needed to get saved by I forgot this dude was American. Haji Wright was like a fingernail offside in extra time with the go-ahead goal. I was texting a few friends of mine right when that goal went in, and I assumed United had lost. And for the first time, I actually said, I was like, Ten Hag out. No way. I was like, I snapped on him. I was like, there's no way he survives a loss that is this terrible. We have lost so many points this season from winning positions. It's crazy. But to do it against a championship team in a cup semifinal was atrocious. And to make matters worse, Coventry gets to the final. I mean, City is going to win this anyway. But you hand them a championship team in the final, then you're pretty much guaranteed an easy win if you're City. So it was just really, really disappointing when that went in. And then I had to eat my words, which I was fine to do, when that goal was called back, which was a giant sigh of relief. But man, like, if there was no VAR or anything like that, like, we would have lost that 4-3. So by the skin of our teeth, we made it to the penalty shootout. And then what happens with the first penalty? Casemiro steps up and tries to be like prime Andrea Pirlo with a little flick down the middle. And to no one's surprise, the Coventry keeper read him like a book and just stood there and caught it. And so you're thinking, all right, that has to be it. We go, you know, 1-0 down in the shootout. There's no way we're coming back from this. Luckily, Andre Onana made a great stop, and then we got a little bit of luck because Coventry captain skied his penalty, and we managed to get out with a win. But probably the most embarrassing part of this was not only the fact that United let their foot off the gas and almost lost to a championship team, but after we won the shootout, no one celebrated except for Antony, of all people, which was freaking insane, like banana land that dude celebrating anything after he did big fat nothing to contribute to that win. And he said afterward that it was because like some of the Coventry players were like saying some crap about them on the pitch. And like, I'm sorry, dude, like you don't celebrate a win like that. You deserve to just walk back to the locker room and keep your head down and count your blessings that you were lucky enough to win that match. And that should be it. So I think I texted you this, but it doesn't matter. I'm not counting just like United matches. That is the most undeserved win I've ever seen from a football match ever. Like, there is no way United should have won that match. And I'm embarrassed to admit that they somehow did. And if they go on and just get trounced by City in the final after that, then it's all going to be for nothing. Like, if they show up with the same attitude against City, it's not going to be a 3-0 or a 3-3. It's going to be a 6-0 hiding by Man City. Mm-hmm. And the only maybe silver lining to being in the final like this and it being so late in May is maybe it gives half of our team a chance to get fit. There's a chance Luke Shaw might be fit again. Believe it when I see it. But hopefully we have a few more center backs that are fit versus just Harry Maguire and Casemiro. Mason Mount obviously injured, but man, this was a really hard game to watch. The first 60 minutes were amazing and the last 60 were absolutely atrocious. And I don't really have any other words beyond the fact that somehow Jason Wilcox was signed from Southampton for our new technical director role. And he is probably the only good news that we had from the last week. And that's it.
That's a brutal assessment, Cotton.
Yeah, I don't know. Usually I enjoy talking about United, and this is one of the few times where I am definitely feeding into the hype from the commentators in terms of how bad of a team this is. And honestly, it does make me think a little bit more about what United are going to do in the offseason. I did laugh a little bit, though, because apparently, you know, there's all these teams looking for head coaches. There's Liverpool, maybe West Ham, definitely Bayern. And they're all after the same candidates. But there's a report from a credible source. I saw that Ralf Rangnick is apparently one of the top contenders for the Bayern job, which, I mean, the dude wasn't – he's not a bad guy. I don't know if he's the right manager for Bayern. He saw all the problems at United. But I don't know. If you get rid of Ten Hag, I don't know who you bring in. Tuchel, Amorim from Portugal, De Zerbi from Brighton. Like, these are all guys, aside from Tuchel, that are unproven at a big club like that. And even though Tuchel won the Champions League with Chelsea, he crapped the bed the season after that, and he is leaving Bayern in a not-so-great spot too. So I don't know. I'm really torn about if I would want Ten Hag to continue and get another season. I just don't see another candidate out there who I think would do better at this point, but that doesn't mean that I would be happy keeping him for another season. It's pick your poison right now.
The board would have to look probably into some of the lesser leagues for a gem, kind of like they did with Sir Alex going over looking at Scotland or whatever. And did you ever feel this way when Ole Gunnar was in charge?
About Ole out?
Well, about Ole out or the way the team was playing.
Yes, I definitely felt that way in terms of how the team was playing. I think that, I don't know. I feel like I gave Ole a little bit too much leeway because he's a United legend.
Yeah.
But I kind of tend to agree with people like Roy Keane and Gary Neville of what is Ten Hag's style of play? I honestly don't know what it is. United seem to play on the counterattack like most United teams do, which is fine. But we just give up so many shots. Like, I think that we've given up the most shots on target in the Premier League this season, aside from Luton Town or something like that. Something crazy.
Yep, I think you're right about that.
So our defense has been terrible. Now, we were nothing near as bad as last year. We're not as bad last year as we were this year. So it would have been fine to have that stat last year and then seen some improvement this year. But to have the opposite happen and see a regression is not a good look. And I get that there's all these injuries, but I also think that Ten Hag has to bear some responsibility for the treatment room being full the entire season. Like, that's pretty embarrassing that's, I don't know. You can say it's bad luck, but I don't know.
He supposedly has very intense practices, right?
Yeah, apparently he does. And he's kind of shot down the notion that he bears or his team bear any responsibility. It's just hard to look at that and think that his team is not involved at all because no other team in the league has that many injuries. I mean, everybody's been through a tough schedule because of, summer tournaments from last year and, the past few years, I should say, and everybody is playing past their max. There's 40, 45 matches in a season for some teams, back-to-back seasons. So it's going to take its toll. But at the same time, you would think every team would be dealing with this volume of injuries, and it's just not the case. So yeah, There's something else going on at United that's causing this, and I don't know if it's all Ten Hag. I don't know if it's something else going on, bad luck, whatever. I just refuse to believe that it's all down to bad luck. It can't be. It can't be.
And it looks like there's probably not going to be European football next year.
Yeah, which is going to be interesting.
City, I don't know if we talked with City and Arsenal losing last week. The coefficient is probably going to drop.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I don't want to say I'm fine with that because it does have an impact on recruitment So I don't want to look at it as a positive too much. But I don't know. It would be European football comes in different flavors. If United are playing in the Conference League or even in the Europa League on Thursday nights, I feel like that makes Premier League games that much harder to win, because you're playing on Thursday nights. And if you're playing in somewhere in, like, you know, Eastern Europe on a Thursday and you got to travel back, whether it's home or away, it doesn't matter.
Yep.
That's hard. That's really hard. And that's why Arsenal have sucked for so long, is when they end up in the Europa League, it really has taken a toll on their chances in the Premier League too, because of all that travel happening.
That's a good point.
And you're playing in a lowly tournament. So I don't know. I would almost rather honestly probably say that I would like to see no European football if United can't get Champions League, which at this point, Champions League is so far out of reach. It's not even a remote possibility, or it shouldn't be. You never know until it's over. But I would hate to see United show up in the Conference League. That's not going to do anybody any favors.
Yeah. Well, you guys are not looking at your best right now, unfortunately. And it looks like Ten Hag, you know, should be the guy that takes the fall on this. But, man, you guys still are going to have to spend some money over the next couple windows. You're going to have to go deep in January and probably get somebody as well.
Big time. No, it's true. It's definitely true. So, in closing, I will say an extremely undeserved win. I am looking forward a little bit to a repeat of last year's Derby final. Do I have a lot of hope that United are going to do something? No. But hopefully we can finish the league strong. At whatever, you know, the highest position possible is. And go into the summer with somewhat of a new backroom structure and settle Ten Hag's future, ideally as soon as possible in the summertime, to remove any ambiguity there.
Well, it still is over a month until we play that game. A lot of things can be changed by then, and you never know where United might be in their ebb and flow at that point in time. Maybe they'll be a little bit better, but it's not going to look too good for United at this point. I think City are ready to finish the year strong after a tough win in the other semifinal over Chelsea.
Oh my God. Let's talk about that. And after you're done, I want to talk about Nicholas Jackson.
Oh, well, that was going to be a big part of it, because City were not great. We did produce a couple chances like in the first half, but overall, there was a huge hangover effect from the Madrid game. Obviously, after 120 minutes and the penalties going down was not ideal. And I figured it would be probably tough to get up for this game. I don't remember what my prediction was for it, but I think
it was 4-1.
It was 4-1, yeah. And you know what? That was a bad guess. Haaland still injured a little bit with a little bit of a muscular problem, letting him rest. KDB was definitely not at full strength. And it was a lull of a first half. We had a couple of chances. But, yeah, Nicholas Jackson, we should have been down in the game. We should have been down in the match. And we're just lucky that Nicholas Jackson is not a real striker. I think before Chelsea bought him, he had, 12 top-level goals? Or something like that, something very small. And it's just been a theme all over the year. Now, that being said, I do think he's been involved overall, if you look at his numbers, and not a terrible goal assist involvement. It's actually not a bad number, but it's just been so glaring of how poorly he's done in so many key times, and you know how many open runs he had, especially against City. In the few matches that they've played against him, I mean, he's had a lot of opportunities. And so, dude's not a real striker, unfortunately. They need to get rid of him. And as soon as they get a new number nine and figure that out, and also with Nkunku coming back next year, I mean, the guy's not going to play a lot.
No, he's definitely not. There's no way. Nope. No way. Where'd he come from? So, Villarreal or something?
I think Villarreal. Yeah, exactly. So, anyway, City. again, not at their best. Phil Foden had a decent chance at the beginning of the second half. And then there was huge controversy over the a free kick for Chelsea that went through the wall. I thought, honestly, it was pretty obviously a handball. I was by Jack. I was pretty sure that it was not. It was going to be VAR'd and been called a handball, and it was definitely going to be a penalty. I was very shocked. I mean, he moved his arm down. He moved it into the direction of the ball. I don't see how that goes against the letter of the law. So I figured for sure that was going to be a penalty, and I was flawed when it was not. And that gave us a chance, a little bit of hope. And like Madrid's goals from the first leg of Champions League quarterfinal, it was a huge deflection. Bernardo Silva did end up scoring, which was a huge redemption after his penalty, his poor penalty, midweek. So up 1-0, and Chelsea didn't offer anything else after that. So Cole Palmer was very quiet in the second half. And so obviously not an easy victory at all. We had to really labor through it. But that's what good teams do after the tough midweek match. Somehow made it through. And like you said, at Wembley, there's always going to be – well, not always, but there's generally going to be that low score line. And we're just lucky that there was no penalty call and that Jackson couldn't put a couple balls in the back of the net. So, obviously, we will take it. I think all the players were gassed, and I think Pep will be super proud of them for the win. They were celebrating for a long time on the pitch after. So, I think Pep's going to be really happy with how they responded. And I think now that we have a little bit of time to rest in between our matches right now, I think – we'll get back to full strength, and we need to win seven finals right now. After Arsenal won today, we are down by 4 points with 2 games in hand. And again, the league is still in our hands. So, you know, we're into the final of the FA Cup. That's a month from now. We've got 6 Premier League games before that. And pretty crazy to think about that. So it does suck that we're out of Europe, but if we can pull off the domestic double, it will be definitely a hell of a season, and not to mention it will be the 4th win in a row in the Premier League, which would be a record in the Premier League era. So, you know, we will take the win as we got it, and I think we're definitely saying, oh, we're going to crush the Red Devils when we get to Wembley in May.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not super hopeful. I'll try and be optimistic when the time comes. But I will say that I think that I have to agree with Pep, actually. I don't know if you saw his some of his post-game comments.
Yeah, but we should have been playing on Sunday. 100%. Yeah,
I can't disagree with him there because, I get the schedule comes out a long time before, like, you know, people realize when or how far a team like City is going to be in the semifinals or sorry, the quarterfinals of the Champions League. But at the same time, like, that should be a very simple switch. I know I'm probably generalizing.
Well,
it's crazy. Crazy.
But also it happens to every team. Every team has felt that. At points, it happens to City a lot because we're in a lot of competitions, and you know, if they start showing leeway to us, they'll you know, be doing it. You know, you'll definitely hear about that from the other teams. So they're not going to change it. I think they should. I think that's the way it should be. We should have that time to rest to produce, you know, a quality match that, you know, at the center of England is going to be watching. So, and even most of the world is going to be watching. So I think it definitely would have been better to be Sunday. That would help our players out a whole lot. But, you know, it is what it is. You gotta deal with the cards you're dealt. And every single Premier League team has had to deal with that, every successful team anyway. So, you know, you deal with it as it comes.
Yeah, and I get it. I mean, he has a right to complain. I understand that it's, you know, something that most successful teams have to deal with. I mean, a lot of times, like every season, if you make it far in other cup competitions like that. But I understand why he made the comments and why he thought it was unfair.
Yeah. And the bigger controversy of that is him saying that he wouldn't be able to make more time for journalists and interviews because he had to, you know, be taking the time at the training field, which is the more controversial part, I would say, rather than saying, oh, they should switch it to Sunday. So I think that's the more controversial part. Now, whether he means that or not is being a little bit of tongue in cheek, a little bit of sarcastic, probably more so that, but still, you know, he's going to try and make his point be made.
Yeah, I get it. So yeah, Manchester Derby final.
Yeah, another one. 2 years another in a row. Who saw that coming? I mean, yeah, geez.
Not me.
Yeah.
Especially after the season United had. But you know what? It's a chance for United to go out on a high note, even though it's unlikely. Better than losing to Coventry in the semis and then, you know, just get absolutely trucked the rest of the Premier League season too by other teams. So I don't know. Opportunity. You know, Ten Hag in his press conference today was defiant, saying that the media's reaction to his team's win was embarrassing. But honestly, I think Ten Hag is on the wrong end. Our performance was embarrassing. So yeah,
it's just a question. Ten Hag. I know we'll have more weeks to talk about this, but Ten Hag wins the FA Cup, and you know, finishes in the same position, seventh, in or out next year.
Man, I don't know. It's such a hard call. I mean, I personally do not see another standout candidate right now that is better than him. But in any sport, when you have a new GM come in for a North American team, you have, you know, a new management team come in, it is very rare to see a head coach that was not hired by that team stick around for very long. So I think if he does stay, he has an extremely short leash going into next season, which would suck if we had to change managers like at the beginning of the year, if we don't start off well. But I really hope we don't get to that point, because we're going to have recruits coming in and they're probably going to be judging us based off of, you know, who's the manager at that time. And if he leaves, then we have yet another time where a new manager comes in and it's not their, you know, quote unquote, their team to work with. So I'd like for it to happen at the beginning of the summer and either commit to Ten Hag or get rid of him. But it's really hard for me to say. I think it's a toss up 50-50.
Yeah, I was going to echo that. That's the real thing you have to worry about, is how, if they bring in new recruits, Ten Hag's guys, and it does, and it goes downhill, how much progress that puts them behind, even again, again from where you guys are right now, having to bring in so many new players, how are you going to restart it all again? Which would be pretty damn frustrating if I were you. That's why I do think they should get him out of there. I think they'll end up starting with a clean slate. Whether he wins the FA Cup or not, I don't know if that can save him, because like you said, they've had a couple of just tough games that they shouldn't have won probably. And they're kind of lucky to get into the final.
Yeah. And I mean, to your point about team building too, like Mourinho actually had an interview. I forget who it was with, but it came out the other day, and he said, there are still two players at United who he didn't even want there and weren't at the level of the club. And that was like 5 years ago, and they're still at United. Now, I don't know who they are. You know what? Definitely one of them is Anthony Martial, because it's public knowledge that
100% Anthony's got to be one.
Yeah, Mourinho tried to sell him. I don't know who the other guy is, but he's not wrong. And you know what? That would never happen at a well-run club. The fact that there's still deadwood that is still with the club managers later.
Who are the other options? McTominay?
I guess it could be McTominay. I mean, I don't know.
You don't think he'd be talking about Rashford or Shaw?
No, I don't think so. I don't think it'll be Shaw or Rashford. I'm trying to think of who else it could be, because there's really not that many guys left that, like, he brought in Dalot. He brought in Lindelof. I don't think it would be anybody who he brought in.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I can't think of anybody else who's like still with the club who, you know, who he didn't bring in.
Yeah.
But yeah, well, we know Anthony Marciano.
That will probably come out. That will probably come out at some point.
At some point. Yeah, it definitely will. One thing I wanted to get your thoughts on, which is not related to City or United, is did you see the whole controversy around the Nottingham Forest match and some of the refereeing decisions there?
Yes, I did.
What are your thoughts on that? Forest in the right for releasing a statement? Do you think they went overboard? Valid argument?
Well, again, they released the statement afterwards. They didn't, you know, I mean, they didn't complain to it about the FA beforehand. They didn't complain to PGMOL after or beforehand. Apparently it was afterwards. Now, I don't know if Nottingham Forest has released another statement, but I know there was a response to their Instagram post or whatever it was, Twitter post. And, you know, it seems like, you know, the FA wiped their hands of any issue. I mean, if you're not going to say anything beforehand, you know, that's tough. So, I mean, you know, doesn't make much sense to me. So, no, I think it was silly by Nottingham Forest. If you're going to say something after the fact, it's just silly. You have to preemptively say something like that.
Yeah, I would agree. I also think it's hilarious that they employ Mark Clattenburg to basically be like their spell checker for refereeing decisions. And he even came out, I mean, which he basically has to support the club's, you know, bitching and moaning. But I just think it's hilarious that one, that's allowed, and two, that like he's being paid by this club to check refereeing decisions.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think that they're like all of a sudden going to be overturned because you're employing a former ref to check their like somebody else's work?
Clattenburg was like the head of the Referees Association last year or a couple years ago, right? Or no?
Yeah, I don't think he's ever the head of it, but he's like the most high profile referee to come out of England in a long time.
Yeah.
Since Howard Webb, which coincidentally, Howard Webb is the head of the PGMOL right now.
Okay. Gotcha. Yeah. I haven't heard Howard Webb's name in a while, actually.
Yeah. I mean, he's on some of the like Sky shows whenever there's like ref controversy and he like, they'll play the VAR audio and he'll join like, you know, Jamie Carragher and Gary Neville and talk the audience through like what was happening.
Gotcha.
Which is cool. But yeah, you don't hear from him much.
Well, that's big for Clattenburg anyway. So that seems pretty silly position. But yeah, that's a dumb controversy. Even though, you know, they were debatable. The calls were debatable. I mean, I think the last one was a penalty, but you know, and that's an ex-United player too, which is the funny part about it.
Yeah, it's true. That's very true. Yeah. Do you have any other City or, well, I don't really have any other United topics. I wore my heart on my sleeve today. I don't want to talk any more crap.
Yeah, no, just got to reiterate how, you know, the Premier League title, it's in our hands. We are down by 4 points. It was a 5-0 win for Arsenal today. So that's a hangover and a half for Chelsea, which is, you know.
Cole Palmer didn't play today, right? He was sick.
I don't know if he played or not.
Yeah, I don't think he did, which, I mean, he's not going to make up the 5 goals by himself, but I think that's going to be a tough loss for Chelsea to come back from.
Yeah, tough season for them too. Well, interesting to see what happens with their sanctions or anything like that, and FFP over the summer transfer window. You're going to assume Pochettino is going to bring in probably a couple more players. So, you know,
definitely.
We'll see what happens with them next year, and if you can shape them up a little bit more, or add at least consistency. They have had a couple decent wins this year, but no consistency at all.
Yeah, no, none.
All right, let's get to the point.
City topics?
No, I don't think so. I don't. You know, not much to say. Let's get into points.
All right, it is time for picks, which coming into this week, can't talk today, there was a 14 point gap, but plenty of time for you to come back, not an insurmountable lead.
Well, it was worse before the end of last week. I had a good week last week, so it was worse beforehand.
This is true.
Well, so now let's see what we're at now. Because I don't think I had Arsenal. Maybe I'm wrong. No, let's just go through it from the beginning.
Okay. City, Madrid. You said 4-1. I said 3-2 for City. It was 2-1 to Madrid on PKs. No points there. City and Chelsea, 1-0 was the correct score. You said 3-2. I said 2-1, so we both get 3 points. United against Coventry. You said 2-1 United. I said 2-0. It was 4-3 on PKs, so 3 points each. And Wolves and Arsenal, you said 2-1 Wolves. I said 1-1 draw. It was 2-0 to Arsenal. And therefore, no points each, which means that we share the spoils, 6 points each. And we still stay with a 14-point gap. Now, the good news for you
is
not insurmountable, and we have a double match week coming up. We have games midweek and at the weekend, so there are 6 matches to choose one from.
Big money.
First one is tomorrow, United hosting Sheffield United. I am going to go with a 3-0 Manchester United win. What do you think is going to happen there?
I want to bet against United. Even a draw or lose, you know, just for the point's sake. But Sheffield United is just so bad. It's hard to bet against United
at this one.
And what did you say?
I said it's really hard to bet against United.
Yeah, no, what was this? What score did you say?
Oh, 3-0.
3-0. I can't give them credit for that. I think they'll eke out a 2-1 win.
2-1?
Yes.
Oof. All right, fair enough.
Eke it out.
Next game, Brighton hosting City. What do you think is going to happen?
I think City are going to be – well, is that Wednesday?
It is not. It is Thursday.
Thursday. That's better for us.
Yeah.
So that's not tomorrow. That's in 2 days.
2 days, yep.
Yeah, I think we'll be feeling better by then. I got to root for City. I'm going to take City for every game going down the stretch because I said I had to. And they haven't been at their best for a little bit, so I'm going to go 3-1 City.
That is a good score line. I like that one. I'll go 2-1 to City. I think it'll be close. I think Brighton will score, but yeah, 2-1. Third match of the midweek games is Merseyside Derby. Everton hosting Liverpool. What do you think about that one?
Everton fighting for those points. Merseyside Derby is always going to be a tough proposition for Liverpool. This is not at Anfield. You know, I wouldn't be surprised to see a draw in this one. I really wouldn't. I would probably say 2-2.
Yeah, I mean, Liverpool have been shocking in front of goal, especially Darwin Nunez. And it just came out today that Diego Jota is now hurt. And so, I mean, they have to play like Nunez or Cody Gakpo up front. I don't have a lot of hope for Liverpool. I think this will be low scoring, and I'm going to go 2-1 to Liverpool.
So, yeah. Snap question. Is Mohamed Salah going to be at Liverpool next year?
I think it will depend on who the manager is, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes. What do you think?
I think the opposite. I think they're going to try and cash in on him.
I mean, they would be smart too. I think if the Saudis come back and I
think that they do that. I think they could get more than that. I think he's that big of a draw for them.
Yeah,
that they could convince him of that money.
Middle Eastern player playing in the Middle East. I think that.
That'd be huge. Right. So anyway, I would definitely say he's gone. But interesting to see. It's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Liverpool over this year, more so than what happened with Chelsea, more so than the transitions with United. It's going to be really, really interesting to see what happens over there.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, weekend games. United hosting Burnley. What do you think is going to happen there? I'm going to say, this is another one that United should win handily and we'll probably have some trouble. I'm going to say 1-0.
Yeah, this is what I'm going to say. I'm going to take a 1-1. And Vinny Company, Captain Vinny, will be taking some points off of off of United at the end of the year. And you'll love seeing that. So I'll give it a 1-1 draw.
Fair enough. Okay, next one up is City on the road at Forest. What do you think's happening there?
City are going to be – that's on Sunday, I'm assuming?
It is.
Yeah. So another game, I think that'll probably end up being the tougher of the games, honestly. So I'll say 2-1 City in that game.
2-1. All right. I am going to go – I do think it'll be a little bit tougher. I am thinking 3-1 City. Okay, last but not least, North London Derby. Spurs hosting Arsenal, also on Sunday. Who do you got?
I want to hear yours first.
Man, you just don't know what Spurs team is going to show up at this point.
So hard. And again, it's another derby game.
Yeah, I'd like to think that they're going to show up for this one, but Arsenal are on a roll and full of confidence. It's really hard to pick against them, even on the road. I'm going to go 3-2 Arsenal.
You know what? I want to see the draw for City to pick up those couple extra points, give them a little bit more breathing room. But Arsenal, hard to argue with. I'll say 4-1 Arsenal.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is one of those matches where literally any scoreline is possible. It could be 5-4, and I'd believe you.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be interesting to see if Ange is willing to be tactically flexible at all for this matchup, because if he's not, they're going to get spanked.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Completely agree. All right, so 6 matches. It'll be interesting to see when we recap on Tuesday
night. I need some draws. I need to hit on those draws.
I know, big time, big time.
Yeah, need to make some moves, so.
Any final thoughts?
No, dude, this is the run-in. This is the end of April. We've got these 2 matches. Then City will have a full week in between all of their matches from there. So I think if we get through these couple games, I think we're going to be in great shape. So City all the way. City, I'd say City is blue after this week, but we will have a big, big, who knows, you know, maybe United could possibly win and we'll have City and United in the Community Shield next year too. You never know. So, but I think right now we'll close out the year, end up being City will be blue. And we'll take that FA Cup, but you know, anything is possible in this crazy sport.
Anything is possible. All right.
All right, Kevin Garnett. I'll talk to you later.
Sounds good, dude. Thank you, everybody. Manchester.
Peace out, people.
Purple. Peace.
Peace.